Welcome to class two. Today we're going to talk about finding a shidduch. Okay, we did sexuality last time, so of course we have to talk about shidduchim today, because the next step in the circle of life, once you're interested in women, right? So you got to find a shidduch.
Oh, I never was.
You never were, right? Okay. Thank you. Once a person is interested in the opposite sex, and legitimately so, then you got to find a shidduch, which we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about how they did it, and also we're going to speak about this. This, by the way, is a wonderful book called Set by Rabbi Aronson, okay? Which actually has been translated. We have it in the shul into English, so we're going to use the English to study from a bunch about how Kadosh Baruch Hu helps us find the shidduch. Is it basheret? Is it not basheret? Has everybody not heard that term basheret? You know what the term basheret means?
Meant to be.
Right. It's more than meant to be. It's preordained or from divine inspiration or what have you. And we're going to talk about that. And then we're all going to talk about what criteria to look for in the shidduch. Okay? It's recommended by the Talmud. And then finally, next week, we're going to talk about problems in shidduchim. What happens if there's an issue that comes up? What is the basis for breaking a shidduch? What halachic factors still remain halachic factors and things of that nature. You better listen carefully. This is going to come up for you guys pretty soon, right?
No.
Not yet. Okay. And so, what's that? We'll do the basics this week. 1 second. Page 6. So there should be 3 sheets per 1, 2. Oh, great. Well, let's start with page 1 and we'll do it that way.
Is it for you?
Too late now. I don't want to waste time. Okay. Thank you. Oh, I only got some time. Well, you'll have to share. Hi. Okay. Page 3 and 4. No, I'm going to go to this way. And then page 5 and 6. Okay, page 1. So you should just know, by the way, who did people usually marry way back when in biblical times?
Cousins.
Absolutely correct. It's absolutely, yeah, you say it like, I mean...
I know people here. Yeah, you know people here.
Right. Why did they marry their relatives?
That's all they knew.
The communities were very small. Everybody was a relative.
That's a good point, actually. You know, it's so interesting that we think about, you know, way back when, if you grew up in Oak Park, right, the odds of you getting as far as Southfield in your lifetime were extremely low. You know, how are you going to get there? You're going to walk? You're going to travel? I mean, you know, you lived on the area, in your local area, and that's it. So you married who was local. And it was much, as industrialism prospered, then people spread out much more. What we have today, where in my family, so my oldest sister lives in Baltimore, next one is Lakewood, and then I'm in Michigan, and my brother's in Israel. You know, this is families across the world now. It was unheard of to have a global family. You know, it was almost unheard of. And so you just see from biblical times, you know, it's very interesting, not this week's parsha, but in a few weeks, when Abraham Avinu wants to marry up Yitzchak, so who does he says to Eliezer, Lo tikach li b'ni b'notak na'anim. I don't want a local girl. I don't want these Canaanite women. But when he says to Laban, go find a wife, what's he really saying? Right, go to my mishpach. And, you know, it's interesting to know that the psukim right before the description of Chayei Sarah, the last thing we hear about at the end, right after the Akedah, is Avram's lineage. And guess, lo and behold, who do we hear about last in the lineage? Rivka. What do you know? There's a girl over there, you know. And just by coincidence, he sends Eliezer to go marry off his son, to find a wife. So that was very, very common, very prevalent. In fact, there's a whole machlokas in the Gemara later on in the Torah. So we find that when the Jewish people are divided up, right, they have a chalukah, they have a yerusha, dividing of the tribal lands. So there was a quirk. The daughters of Tzelafkar came up and said, "Well, our father should get land. Shouldn't we get land?" So what was the answer? The answer was, "Yeah, okay, you guys get land too." So then the people of the tribe, I think it was Dan, Saul, you remember? Manasseh, okay, I don't remember. People of the tribe came along and said, hey, if they have land from our tribe and they marry some other guy, then our tribal ancestral lands are going to go to another tribe. So they made a rule. And the rule was the daughters of Salafchad have to marry in the tribe. Who do they marry, by the way? Anybody guess? They married to their cousins. Right, who else are they going to marry? Okay, but the question was, Machlokas in the Gemara, was that rule for just the Benos Slavchad or for everyone? So according to some opinions, everyone married within their tribe. And if you married out of the tribe, you know, it's one of those marriages, you know, that we talk about. Right. I mean, don't get me wrong, but how about Galicianas and what's the other one? And Litvax.
Yeah.
You can marry. Oh.
Oh. We got engaged.
Oh, you are Yeti, right?
They went in Americana.
Yeah. Talk to me in German. I didn't mention that.
So I'm reading now. I'm reading a book written by Mrs. Lau, who is the daughter of Rabbi Teitz. Rabbi Teitz, you've heard of, he was the Rav of Elizabeth. How did he become the Rav of Elizabeth? An amazing, amazing story. The Rav of Elizabeth from 1918 or 20 till 1930 was a man named Rabbi Prell, P-R-E-I-L-L. Rabbi Prell, they loved him. They, in Elizabeth, he was building up the community, and he died at a very young age, 30-something, maybe early 40s. And
what
he had Elizabeth, New Jersey. It's a very well-known community for a community. And he died, and he had two daughters, 18 and 16. And he wrote in his will, he wrote that he wanted the man who married his oldest daughter, if he was a Talmid Chacham, he should be the Rav of the community. And all the rabbis in America, he was a very big and well-known person, so the rabbis came down to Elizabeth, and the whole community came into the shul for the funeral, and the rabbi got up and said, we are not starting this funeral until you all agree to abide by the rules of his will. How's that, huh? Yeah, and they agreed. So when Rabbi Teitz he grew up in Europe, he was born in Europe and grew up, and he came to America to raise money for the Telz Yeshiva in Telz, the actual original Telz Yeshiva, and he was a very good speaker in Yiddish, and he came around, and it was a shidduch, and lo and behold, what do you know? He became the Rav of Elizabeth, New Jersey. And so there's a record, they have an article in the book from the Elizabeth, I don't know, ledger or whatever it was, 1,500 people came to that wedding. It was like a royal wedding in Elizabeth, 1935.
I wonder if the Rabbi Heitzel, the Shalom from Kew Gardens Hills, was his brother.
I'm sure they were all related. I'm sure they were all related. Okay, so let's skip a little bit. So that's what happened. The Shidduch was all set way back when. I mean, it was really mostly in family or in tribe. Because why did people do that? Because they knew them. They trusted them. And this is what to be good Yichus. What is Yichus?
Derivation.
Yichus. Why do we still care about Yichus today?
Yes. Yes.
Eddie, that's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
I'm not just telling you, but that's what it is.
Because the Gemara talks about Yichus. It does. But what it talks about, you know, the Gemara talks about Yichus. Yichus is primarily, I want to make sure that this is from a kosher family. When I mean kosher, not that they are, you know, from some Rosh Yeshiva 32 generations back. I want to make sure that they're from an all-Jewish family. Because now, remember, it wasn't easy to trace your lineage to know where you came from. There was no documentation. There was no, you know, how could you prove you were who you were?
Couldn't
who
go
are
online
you?
At that time.
Couldn't go online at that time. Absolutely correct. So a person who had Yichus, they kept family lineage, especially the rich people. They could prove back X number of generations their Jewish links. And that was considered valuable. Nowadays, what does Yichus mean, though? Well, when we say Yichus, what do we mean?
Connection.
Speaking. Well, usually people say they mean, you know, connections. Oh, you know, it's a good family. Right. So that's not the Yichus that Gemara talks about. And then you come up with a very important issue. What do you do with girls who are wonderful people who have no Yichus? Is that a strike against her? Actually, you bring that up. Now, we think of marriage in an extremely different way than basically anyone did before, I don't know, you tell me, before probably the 1800s, maybe. Hard to say when it started. What was marriage up until that point?
Almost a marriage of convenience.
Not a marriage of convenience, no.
Marriage of family, marriage of property.
And it was very much, it had to do with finances. Right, a lot of it was, I have a daughter, you have a son, right? They need to be married, they need to create a family, and it was creating allegiances within families, and it was also establishing monetary arrangements. Well, not in Jewish.
Right.
So this idea of, how should we say this, love, what? Yeah. This idea of, right, this fiddler on the roof is an entirely American invention.
Yeah.
Or, and it's a good analogy because when Western thought entered into the Jewish community, then this idea, this Western idea of love, you know, that conflict of, you know, of remember the husband and the wife and the love, what, you know, do you love your husband? What's love? I understood for about 25 years. It's a very, you know, who's right and who's wrong is an actually excellent question.
It also was like from the financials. You remember the young girl wanted to marry the tall man?
That's right.
That's what I'm trying
to say. That's right. It happened quite a bit.
And
the butcher. Yeah. Right, yeah. The butcher. Because he could take care of her.
Right.
And in the real world, she would have been ecstatic.
Yeah.
Because she would have had a roof on her head, and she would have had clothes, and she would have been able to feed her children.
Right.
You know, he was a nice man, too. He actually really cared about her, which is not actually usually so true in the real world. It's hard to know. So how did they find Shidduchim back then? How did you find each other? Anybody know?
A
Shadchan?
Yeah.
So the Gemara tells an unbelievable story, an absolutely unbelievable story, which you probably all have heard of. It's actually a Mishnah at the end of Kindness. So this is from source number, page number one. Says the Gemara, and I tried to give English where I could, so hopefully that will be helpful. I'm Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lo hayu yamim tovim biYisrael kechamisha asa ba'av uchiyom hakipurim. There were no yom tovim holidays in the Jewish land like the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. Shebahen on those days, okay, benos Yerushalayim yotos bechlei lava and sheulim. The daughters in Jerusalem would all go out and borrow white dresses. Everyone would borrow one. The Gemara is going to talk about how they would borrow. Everyone would borrow from somebody else, because if somebody didn't have, if everybody wore their own, someone might not have. So everyone borrowed a dress from somebody else. Kol hakelim t'unim tevila. So, okay, that's a particular issue, that all of the dresses had to take to the mikvah. We only take our dishes to the mikvah. That's a totally different halacha. Dishes are for tefilas kelim. But they had to worry about being tameh or tahor. So after you... before you brought your clothing to the laundry, since you borrowed it from somebody else, you took it to the mikvah also, because clothing can also become tameh. The daughters of Jerusalem would go out and dance in the vineyards. Okay, what would they do? Can you imagine? Whenever I do this, this boggles my mind. Imagine if Rabbi Spalter of the Young Israel of Oak Park suggested that we do this today. Hey, I got an idea.
Especially on Yom Kippur.
Well, let's say 15th of Av. Forget Yom Kippur.
Whatever.
The 15th of Av, all the Beis Yaakov girls in our community will go out to Shepherd Park. And they'll all borrow white dresses from one another, and they're all going to dance. And I say, well, I'm going to dance. Why? Well, should it be because so that a show for the ladies? Can't they do it inside? No. Why? So all the men can come watch them dance and find a good siddah. Find a good bride. What would happen if I wrote that, if I suggested that in the local, I don't know, Jewish press?
I wouldn't be gone.
I mean, you know, neither would I be gone.
It would be.
No, young people wouldn't mind. Oh, that's my interesting idea. it's unbelievable. So then the girls, by the way, they had to attract a suitor. So you have to remember also, it was very much in their interest to find someone who was going to marry them. Women were not nearly, were not at all empowered to support themselves. It's finances.
Do you have any sense of how old these people were?
The girls were married at a very young age. Sometimes as minors, sometimes, I mean, the average age, 12, 13, 14. Yeah, very, very young, you know, relative to us. What would they say? Bachur, young man, shana inecho re'ei ma'ata borelecha. Look at what you're choosing. Right? Don't look at beauty. Look at the family. Right? Look at my family.
What? Under the white dress?
What?
Like that language, lift your eyes up, like, look at my face.
Sana Einecha. Good one. That's a good point. That's a good point. Okay. Sheker Hachain, the Hevel Ayofi, Isha Yiras Hashem Hitisalal. Now, it's interesting, by the way, they're all wearing white dresses and dancing. You know, if you really didn't care about what the girl looked like,
she'd be standing with her father if she was looking at the family.
Right. The Omer, it says, good forgive from the fruit of her hands, and you should praise in the gates her deeds. Va'atarash itralo imo b'yom chatunto b'yom simchati bar. So the Gemara in Mishnah goes on and says, go out and see the beauty of the daughters of Yerushalayim. That's the end of the Mishnah. But what's interesting to note is you see the conflict. On the one hand, the Mishnah wants the young men to go out, and what should they be looking at? What family or what else? No, not just because then it says, Tenula mi priya deha, yihalu v'shari ma'aseha, what kind of girl is she? And then on the other hand, though,
how could they tell by just the white dress?
Well, they're all dancing out there in the field. He's watching them, you know. There's a little bit of both. You know what I'm saying? It isn't just a talent competition. There's an element of beauty as well. So the Gemara explains. Shehabehen benos Yerushalayim, Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis learn, I'm where it says Aleph over there. Bas Melech Sho Eles Nibas Kohen Gadol. Who was going out? You would think, you know, okay, a few loser girls, you know, the riffraff. No. The king's daughter would borrow her dress from the Kohen Gadol's daughter, the high priest. Bas Kohen Gadol Nibas Gan. Kohen Gadol's daughter would from the assistant Kohen. Ubas Gan Nibas Mishrach Lachava, etc., etc. And then the regular women would borrow one from another. So there was a hierarchy, but all of them did it.
That was so you couldn't tell who was richer, who was poorer. Is that
you could tell? Oh, you could. You know, but meaning the rich girls borrowed clearly from the rich girls, and the poor girls borrowed from the poor girls. You know,
but they all came from the same area, so they knew each other anyway.
Yes, and. What, and Rashi actually says the way they did this was they did it for the girls that were not already engaged. But, you know, it's so interesting. Nowadays we talk about the shidduch crisis. There's a shidduch crisis, and it's a big problem that there are so many singles. I mean, if you look at there are so many singles. You go to the Shabbatonim and stuff, and there are so many young people that they don't meet each other. They have no way of meeting. So, if today one were to suggest such a thing where the young women should go and the young men should go, you know, meet them, a mixer.
Speed dating.
No, a mixer. It's not allowed.
It's not allowed.
It's not, you know, it's not appropriate.
But
on. Stop it. It's not true anymore. Okay.
But aren't they letting up on that a little bit? Aren't they starting to have some...
Only when you're older, really. Only when you're older. I mean, young people don't really... Sure, Rabbi Tolwin, but in the mainstream, there's still a protocol you have to follow, and understandably so. You know, this can get out of control. I am quite certain that the parents were all there. You know, it was a community event, and it was heavily supervised, and my attitude always is you'd rather have it out in the public, I mean, where everyone can see, you know, where they're all dancing on Yom Kippur than
on
7-Eleven, you know what I'm saying.
On Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur was a day of joy after Kapara was given. It was a very happy day.
Okay.
The happiest of days. Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard of that. I just heard about that. Yeah. Okay.
Or a barn raising.
Kadei shelo yisbayish. So why they borrow? Kadei shelo yisbayish as misha elo.
Oh,
all
right.
So that they wouldn't embarrass someone who didn't have a dress. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Nos Yisrael yotzeh v'chulos v'kramim. The Jewish girls would go out and they would dance in the fields. Tana misha elo isha nifna l'sham. So if you didn't have a wife, you were looking for a shidduch. So what do you do? All right. Wait till tisha. Wait till tu ba'av, and you find a wife. And that'd be okay. And obviously they would pair off at some point. You would see a girl you liked. It was the first single Shabbaton or whatever you want to call it. And you'd hopefully get to talking a little bit. And if it was okay with the families, great. Yuchaso shehebahem hayu omros. Son of Rabbanan. So the rabbis learned. This is very interesting. Yefesiyos shebahem mahayu omros. So remember, the girls who had yichas, they said, hey young man, don't look at my beauty, look at my family. Right? Why would a girl say that? No.
Because
she obviously isn't as beautiful as the other girls. You know, she's pushing her selling point. So what would the pretty girls say? Right? I'm the prettiest. You know, I mean, family is nice, but at the end of the day, you're not sitting at dinner with your father-in-law. You know? What would the family girl say? Right? Because a woman is there to bear children. So you want your children to have a leg up in the world? Does it really matter what the wife looks like to some degree? What would the ugly one say? Right? Take to the same shemayim for the sake of heaven. As long as you give us jewelry, we'll be happy.
This is such an insult. I can't
Why are you insulted?
Because it's saying that the pretty girls will get families, of course, because they're pretty and the ugly ones have to say, for goodness sakes, because it's awful. Excuse me.
Don't excuse yourself, but that's real life. Meaning, I'm sorry, I wasn't one of the most good-looking kids in high school, right? So, there are the good-looking kids, and then there's everybody else, right?
That's
your life.
It's not just ugliness anymore. It's there, and it's well also chunkiness.
All right.
Pretty girls are still going to...
Whatever the beauty is in the eye of that society, whatever it is, now beauty is in the eye of the society. But that's another issue entirely. Okay, page 2, please. So now we're going to turn to Rabbi Ellenson. Okay, so he says, page 2. No, it's all sideways. So, where does this come from? So, if it's all random, if they're all running around and finding a shidduch while the girls are dancing, right? What do you do with the following? I'm a Rab. This is from Moed Katan. I'm a Rab Yishum Rab Ruvain Ben Itzkriboli. Right. So they said, Min HaTorah, Min HaNeviim, or Min HaKesubim. And we know from the Torah, from the prophets, and from the writings that that God sends a man his true mate. That from God comes a woman to a man. Min HaTorah, as it says from the Torah, Dichshiv, as it is written, Vayan Lavan Ubetuel Vayamru, Lavan Ubetuel. They answered and they said, May Hashem Yasad Avar. Right, Eliezer comes and says, you're never going to believe it. I came to the well and I said, God, whoever the first girl is that offers water to me and my camels, she's going to be the one for Yitzchak. And lo and behold, who does it? Rivka. Right?
The Gemara says the way he asked
her, not really. It's actually a machlokas thing. We're going to get to those sources a little bit later. But what, right, was he looking for a simon or was he looking for something more mystical? Right. So they both said, and he said, it's God's will. And Lavan and Bethuel come in and say, oh, Rabbi Shalom, it's God's will. Now, of course, why are Lavan and Bethuel so happy? Right, because Eliezer is rich. He's representing Abraham Avinu, who's a wealthy man. Oh, it's God's will. Thank the Lord. Right. He said, praise the Lord. Mina Nevi'im, as it is written, Chiva Aviv Imo Lo Yadu Ki Mi Hashem Hi. This is actually from the story of anybody know? Anyone? Shimshon. Right, and his mother and the father didn't know that his wife was saying come from God. Minach Tuvin, as it says from the verses of Chesed, Bayit Vahon Nachalat Avot Umei Hashem Isha Miskelet. Riches, house, and riches are the inheritance of the fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So this is always a struggle for young people because on the one hand they're told, but what's the famous Gemara that you all know about a shidduch? I mean, nobody knows the famous piece from the Gemara? No, we're going to get to that one. That 40 days before the children are born, right? The 40 days before they're born. The God picks one and God picks the other. So sometimes young people, they have this feeling like, I'm waiting for that one person. You know, that God picked that one person and I'm waiting for that one person, that there's that unique person. And they're struggling with that because if it's really from God, then that person's going to present themselves. And unfortunately, you have a lot of people that they're still waiting for that person to present themselves. They've met, you know, tens and tens and tens of people, but they're still waiting for that hundreds of people. What's that?
Levi's daughter, and she's called. I mentioned with somebody.
She did. I saw you at Sinai. That's her.
I saw you at Sinai.
It's called. Right. Man, that's from another midrash. What saw you at Sinai? That all the souls. All the neshamas of all of the Israel, of all the Jewish people were at Har Sinai. So if you're all there, we must have met at some point. You know, everybody met each other.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, so are you sorry? Okay, so again, the Yerushalmi says, Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Pazi, Afilu Mamzer B'Sofa Olam, U'Mamzer B'Sofa Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi'en U'Mezavgan Zebazeh. Let's say, you know, a Mamzer, a child of illicit produce, is called a Mamzer. Right, in English we call it a bastard, but it's a mamzer is a terrible tragedy. And a person's parents, mother commits adultery, the product of that union is called a mamzer. So a mamzer is not allowed to marry a non-mamzer, he has to marry a mamzeret. So the Mar Yerushalmi says that God will find a mamzer in Saskatchewan and the mamzeret in Cleveland, and somehow he'll make it that they'll be able to meet up, that they'll find each other. Okay? But, section 2, sometimes an effort is required and sometimes it's not. Says the Midrash in Bereshit Rabbah, Yesh Shaholech Eitel Zivugo, V'yesh Shizivugo Ba'etzlo. Sometimes you have to go find your mate, sometimes your mate comes to you. Yitzchak Zivugo Ba'etzlo. So Yitzchak had it easy. Right? Why? He went out. Yitzchak went out into the field in the evening. He raised up his eyes. Lo and behold, the camels are coming. What's on the camels?
Yes.
You know, Yitzchak had it ready made for him. Yaakov had to go find his mate. It says, so now, is it from God? Is it from God? Does God find you a shidduch?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you have to do something about it. You have to try.
Yeah.
Right, but you have to go try. That's the everything is from Hashem, right?
But God helps those that help themselves.
Right, very good. But God helps those that help themselves. I mean it's like Parnassa too. You pray for Parnassa, right? Yeah. God, I said at Rosh Hashanah, I prayed for Parnassa. Good. I prayed on Yom Kippur, I thought God promised me what he promised me. Go home, I'm, you know,
waiting,
just sit back and wait for it to come.
Promises.
Right. So did God guarantee me for the year? Well, it's not a guarantee. You have to go make your hishtabis as well. And then all of Judaism is just sort of combination. So the same is true of a shidduch. Is there a shidduch for you?
Yes.
Shidduch for everyone. You have to go find them? Yes,
yes.
You have to go find them.
Yes.
Okay.
Spend your time online, do your research.
Yeah. That's true. That's the way to find. I mean, if you think about it, by the way, the internet is a tremendous, it's a blessing. Because it allows people who never would have met each other to go find each other. Yeah, it's something you brought up for Ruth's daughter. Because she does what she does, but she says people come to her all the time crying that they can't find a shidduch. You know, and it's a very interesting phenomenon that maybe I'll talk about after I turn off the tape at the end of the class. Okay. Matchmaking involves as much for God as the division of the Red Sea. Matrona Achas, a noble woman, the English for this is on the next page, so you can follow along if you want. Matrona Achas, Shala es Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta. So she asked Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta. It's also a very famous midrash. These are all good midrashim to know when it comes to shidduch. Makama yamin bara hakadosh baruch hu es olama. How long did it take God to create the world? Amar la. So he said to her, l'sheishes yamin, 6 days. Amar la. So she said to him, well, may also shav yad achshav mahu osa. So what does he do then? I mean, it took him 6 days to create the world. What about the rest of time? Amar la, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yosef u'mezaveg zivugim. God sits and he makes matches. Bito shel ploni leploni, Isto shel ploni leploni, Mamono shel ploni leploni. Now, by the way, I want to point out that shiduchim is not just matchmaking in marriage. That's a big one. But shiduchim, there's a lot of shiduchim. I say this often, that one of the favorite parts of my job is making matches. I don't do a lot of marriage shidduchim. I've struck out every time, pretty much. I try, but I've yet to hit one. But many times, that person needs a job. That person is looking for a job. Somebody came to me today and said, oh, Rabbi, I'm looking for chavrusha at 8 o'clock on Monday night. So if anybody knows anybody, you know, that because I'm in a central position in the community, so I know a lot of people, and I know a lot of people who know a lot of people. You know, this one's coming into the community, this one needs a job. This one is looking for somebody, he's opening up this business. It's a very divine behavior to put people together and say, you know, this person, it's what you do, a lot of what you do. This person, he just came to the community, he needs someone to sort of introduce him to other people. And to give people, to find what is it that you need and to plug that in. And if you think about the complicated web of human interaction that is a community, that is the Jewish people, it is not a simple matter at all. It's an incredibly complicated thing. This one is sick, he needs food. That one gave birth, she needs to take care of it. They need a babysitter, you know, and it's like all this matchmaking, this mezaveg zivugim. So I'm very glad, and I'm glad, and I think it's so appropriate that the midrash, it's not just girls and boys. Right, it's Mamono Shel Ploni Leploni. He's got a business deal, well, he's got money for investment. You know, he's got time on his hands, and this could be some volunteer work. It's that everyone has needs and everyone has requirements, and it's an amazing thing that we somehow find an ability to work it out. Amar lo. So she said back to him, Vadahi umnasei. That's it? That's all he does? Afani yakol alasos king. I can do it too. Kama avadu musrakos yeshli. I've got some slaves, some maids. Vashakal yakol alimil zabgam. In 2 seconds, I'll match him up just like that. Amar lo, he said, in kala hi beinecha. It's harder for God to match people up than it was to split the sea. Now, by the way, you think that's an exaggeration?
No.
Why not?
Because the sea is a strictly physical phenomenon.
Correct. The sea, God can split the sea in 2 seconds. He controls the sea, split. But because God gives us free will, in a sense, God doesn't know how we're going to react to one another. It's our choice how I'm going to decide to react to my spouse, to my mate, or whether I'm going to make the best of that opportunity or not. So in a sense, it's harder to match people up than it is to split the sea. Much, much harder. Ma'asa, so what does she do? Natla elef avarim ve'elef shrachos. She took 1,000 slaves, 1,000 mates. Ve'amidos on shuros. Right? She lined them up. She was the first Reverend Sung Young Moon. I'm always amazed, by the way, that there are. He does these marriages, doesn't he? And don't they meet?
No. So
sure, and they meet at the wedding, don't they? And they're like, yes. Okay, you and you. But some of them must last, they last, don't they? A lot of them. Do
you
they
don't
last?
Hear after that. The big wedding with all the bridal gowns and the tuxedos or whatever. You never hear it.
Yeah, you know. By the way. If half of them lasted, that's still better than most than America. It's still better than statistics in America today. But Amran, they said, Klan Yasef. I got to stop 1 second. So I was of course running in the JCC today, watching my Sports Center on the commercials, right? So somebody was watching The View. Holy mackerel, unbelievable. So they're talking about prenuptial agreements. So if you get a prenup, I think because of Paul McCartney, am I following me right? That Paul McCartney should have had a prenup, but he's losing $1 billion. No, let us know, Elena, it shouldn't happen. So they said, getting a divorce today is like when you're 40, you had a midlife crisis, you get a new husband, you get a new wife. Because of course you should have a prenup, because you know that you're going to get sick of your job in 10 years, you're going to need a new job. So in the summer, you're going to get sick of your husband, you get a new husband. This is a real societal problem in America today. A real problem. And they weren't kidding around. Okay. So she lined up 1,000 slaves and 1,000 maids. They had Amida Osam Shuro Shuro Sramra. She lined them up and she said, Plan Yahweh Laploni, Laploni Shesha Laplon, you marry you, ba 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 ba, L'chaim. Zib Gal Osam Balai L'achad. Skoya, you're all married. Lamacha Atun Gabe. Din mochi apetzia, din einah shemita, din ragleha chabira. Right. So, well, the next day, what happened? One had a bruised head, another lost an eye, another had a broken leg. I'm sure it was all the men. To be honest, I'm quite confident. Okay. So, what happened? Amr lahon, malachon. What's going on? The Amra. So one guy says, late on abay l'dain, v'dain amr late on abay l'da. I don't want her. She want him. She's nuts. She's crazy. So this rich lady, she said, go get the rabbi. Amrlo, leis eloah ka'alechon. There is none like your God. Emes hi taraschon, no mishubachet yafe amart. You're right. It's not as easy as it sounds. Amrlo, lo kak amarti lach. I shall told you. In kalahi be'inecha, you think it's easy. Kashahim yifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'kriyas yamsuf. Right? It's hard like splitting of the sea. Kadosh Baruch Hu ma osa lahen mizavgan ba'akorachan shalo b'tovashan. Right? What does God do? He matches them by force against all logic. Thus, God makes a solitary to dwell in a house. He frees prisoners with fetters. Right? He says b'kushrot, smell b'kushrot, bechi v'shiros, bechi and weeping and song. Man de'ba'i omer shira, u'man de'lo ba'i bechi. The one who wants says praise. The one who doesn't want cries. What does that mean? That end of the midrash is a very, very challenging midrash. Let's read it again. What does God do? He matches them by force against all logic. Thus, God makes a solitary to dwell in a house. He frees prisoners with fetters. He frees prisoners with fetters. What are fetters?
Fetters are like manacles.
Chains. He frees them with chains. And somebody explain to me the end of that midrash, because the end of the midrash, by the way, is the key to the whole thing. The end of the midrash will be the beginning of my diatribe that I give at the end of this year that you're not going to hear on the tape. Sorry.
So which end are you talking about? The last couple,
Couple of lines. Is that strange? You free with fetters?
By putting people together,
right.
He leaves them free to be what they're supposed to be in the chains of marriage?
Correct.
Oh.
How? Weeping and song. Whoever wishes sings praise. Otherwise, he weeps. Yes. Absolutely. I'll repeat that if you didn't hear. It's all in your attitude. Every marriage, the best marriage, the best shidduch, has things that just don't mesh. Because people, because they're individuals, because they're unique, because they're singular people, they're going to have things about them that the other person doesn't like.
Yes.
Are annoying to them. Don't get too specific. Don't need to know. That are frustrating.
You're leaving close here. You're not having
done. Those are small potatoes. You know what I'm saying? But it's true. A marriage, you know, we all say, when things are good, you can live in a room this size, right? When things are bad, you can have a house the size of this building. You can be on one side, and the other side is still not big enough. And that is, the midrash is telling you what the principle is. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts you together. He'll find you your match. The question you have to ask yourself is, what are you going to do with it? If you, and in a sense, it's like almost by force. Yes, you're forced together. And if you make the best of it, then it's song. Then it's cause for Shira. But if you want to focus on the negative, which in every relationship, there's always going to be some negative, it's easy to do. You know, in the book that I was mentioning the other day, that I was reading on Shabbos from Rabbi Teitz, they had a saying. They said that if you have a couple that says to you, we never fight. Right?
Like, worry about
them. Right. That either means that they don't talk to each other or that they're fools.
There's something wrong.
That means that either one person is a total pushover and never has any, he doesn't have any opinion whatsoever, or that they don't communicate at all. But the question is, are you going to focus on building what's there together or not? And so again, it's some combination. Yeah, if God puts you together, but then the question is, what are you going to do with it? Next source, according to fate, what one deserves. Okay. Meaning, when God promises you, is it going to come to you, or is it what you deserve? Okay. I'm on page number 3 now. Okay? Ki hava patach reish lakish b'sota. And reish lakish would commence the study of Mishnah Sota. Amar haki would say, Ein mezavim lo la'adam elafi ma'asav. Right? A person's matches made in heaven are entirely accordance with what one deserves. As it says, for the rod of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Rabba Amar Rabba Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chana said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The kashim is zavgan to kriyas yamsuf, and it's hard to make a shidduch like the division of the Red Sea, as it says, Elohim Moshe v'chidin beita moti asirim b'koshuas. God makes a solitary to dwell in the house. He brings out the prisoners into prosperity. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that really true? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. He said the name of Rabbi Yehuda and the name of Rav. Arbayim yom kodim mitziras hablad, 40 days before the creation of the vlad, of the child. Basko yolche so meres, a voice comes out and says, Bas ploni la ploni, base ploni la ploni, shudder ploni la ploni. That a voice calls out in heaven and says, she's going to marry him. So how can you say it's so hard if God already did it 48 before they were even born? He knew who they were. So the Gemara is very interesting. Lo kasha, habazivug rishon, habazivug sheni. It's easy for a first marriage. It's much harder for a second marriage. And if you think about it, there's a lot of empirical truth to that. I have a little bit of experience with this. So young people, if they're getting married really when they're both young, they're both somewhat pliable, malleable. And as they grow together, then they sort of build off of one another. Once a person, God forbid, if a person gets divorced or loses a spouse, so you're already established. You're already, you know who you are, you know your identity is, you're used to certain things.
Expression is set in your
way. Yeah, to some degree. So you're going to go marry somebody else who's also set in his ways. It's much harder than to sort of mold yourself and become more pliable.
Society has changed to some extent. People are very picky these days. They're very self-centered, and people aren't that way necessarily anymore.
Okay, I'll say it. I don't mind saying it on the internet. I think that that's the problem. That is one of the larger problems with what we would call the shidduch crisis today. That when people, I have a big pet peeve with New York City in particular. not as New York as a city, which I hate anyway. Right, that's another issue. But you have literally thousands upon thousands of young, available, attractive, wonderful single people. And they're all wonderful and well-meaning. But it's impossible to look at that group of people, to be in that group and be set up with somebody and not evaluate them based on the rest of the field. So you could find the prettiest girl in Manhattan, you know, but she's not as energetic and fun-loving as that girl that I know. And you know, well, you're always waiting, like you said, you're always waiting for the next thing, as opposed to for the next better thing, as opposed to saying, this is what God put in front of me. In a sense, do I feel a sense of urgency? Is it right? Am I going to make the best of it? Or, on the other hand, maybe, you know, there's going to be something better that comes down the road. And on a couple of occasions that it's happened here, you know, you have people ask me, and I would tell them honestly, what's better, to live in Detroit and go into dating New York, as hard and painful and annoying as that is, or to go move to New York? I think clearly, far and away, better to stay here. Why? Because at least from here, when you go, you have a sense of, you'll have, I mean for young people, I'm not talking about for someone who's older, different situations. When you go, you'll have that sense of urgency and be able to look at a person and evaluate them as a person as opposed to a person in that larger group. And that speaks to, you know, the pickiness that you're talking about. Everybody is trained to expect, well, what's good for myself? What do I like? You know what I'm saying? I'm picking off the shelf and I want her to be 9.5 in funny and 7.5 in good looks and, you know, 8.3 in intelligence. And if it's not exactly the measurements that I was looking for, then that's a different, by the way, that's not our community. That's not our community. That's a different community. So I don't feel comfortable speaking to that.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You sort of gloss over it. What does this first part mean? Matches made in heaven are entirely in accordance with what one deserves?
That means, I think that what that would mean is, on the one hand, instead of saying that what God picks before, like 40 days, if you're a righteous person, then God will find you a righteous girl. And if you're not righteous, he'll find the girl that's appropriate to you. But don't expect someone above your station.
Okay.
I don't think that would upset anybody. That would make sense.
No.
You know, the way you achieve, that's really the mass that you deserve.
These topsy-turvy ropes, you get people in second marriages that are wonderful. Maybe they're better. Maybe
I think it's harder, though. I just think it's harder.
I think it's
a harder work. It's more, it's admirable, but it's harder work.
Saying, I think people on the second marriage try working harder to make that marriage go than they do with the first marriage.
It depends. I don't know if it's people working harder. I think that in any case, you have to work hard.
Well,
it's very hard to generalize. And I think that it's, I mean, you talk about young people. There's a difference between young people, when you say young, 19 and 22, you know, you say it's too young. I don't think it's too young. I really don't. Somehow those marriages, most of them, they end up, they're successful and they grow together. And there's something to be said for growing together. I think there's something to be said for marrying at 15 and 14. The Gemara knew what it was talking about. Somehow they, you know, hormones are raging, and you know that's the time when a person matures physically, and they grew up. They grew up, Harry. They grew up in their house. They weren't thrown off on their own. They stayed in the household.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't like they were just thrown to the wolves, and they grew up in the house until it was time for them to branch off. There's a lot to be said for that. And the older you get, you're 29, you're 35. And then you become like the second marriage in a sense. And it's more difficult to work. Okay. Let's skip on. So what should you be looking for? Page 4. Turn to page 4. What should you be looking for? So actually, this is a shim in the Shulchan Aruch. is Eben Ezer, Shimon Dalin, right? Eben Ezer is the chelek that deals with issues of marriage, divorce, and things of that nature, women's issues, men and women topics. So Shimon Dalin, chapter 4, in a sense. I'm sorry, Shimon Beis, chapter 2. Shishado kol adam likach lo isha haguna. A person should try to find an appropriate wife for himself. Right? I'll just pick one off the, you know, internet. Try to find an appropriate wife. So it says, this is the Shulchan Aruch. Lo yisha adam isha sheyesh ba shum pishul. So a person shouldn't marry a wife that has a psul, what he means is, what? A defect. But it's not a physical defect, it's a familial defect. What he really means is, it's a halachic defect. For example, a Kohen can't marry a Grusha. Not allowed to. A person is not allowed to marry a Mamzer, or something like that. You know, a Kohen can't marry a Gioris. There are certain halachic prohibitions. You know, it's very challenging, because if a person is older and he's a Kohen, so he can't marry a divorcee. So that cuts off half of his single population that he could possibly marry. It's a very, very difficult challenge. Absolutely. Hagar, Rama writes, now this takes you back to the time, 1600s. So if you marry a woman that's psula because of money, and then your children are not going to be mehuganim. No, kahogan is appropriate. Proper, yeah. But without that, she's not psula, she's okay. But you marry her for money. There's no problem with marrying a woman for her money. It's allowed. Not only is it allowed, it probably happens a lot. Okay? And let's say a person wants to marry a woman who's a psula. His family can stop him. Right? They can come to him and say, we do not let you do this. Why? Why can they do that? What's that? No. So what? Let's say that it doesn't say if you go to eat non-kosher, I can stop you. So why is this any different? Why is this any better or worse?
You're breaking up the yichud.
Because what you do affects me. Now I'm going to look for a shidduch, and they're going to say, oh, his brother's married to you know who. This is serious stuff. So you ruin the family yichud. So the family can say you have to stop. And Ve'in Eina wrote their last giach b'hem. Let's say the guy doesn't want to listen. Yasu Eza Dabar L'Shimon Shelo Yis'ared Zaro B'Zaram. So that you can make a ceremony of some kind. The Gemara tells of a ceremony to do. They would take a barrel of fruit, and they would take the barrel in the middle of the street, and they would take this barrel, and they would smash it on the ground. And they would say, we're smashing this barrel because Beryl married this woman he's not allowed to marry, and we don't want him in our family anymore. And that way everyone would know, we're disowning him, everyone would know, stay away from Beryl and the family, and that way my family is still okay. Now it seems a little bit harsh, but
they do worse today.
But
smash the barrel because of Beryl?
But Beryl made it true. What's that?
That day, we.
We seem harsh?
We do worse.
It seems harsh, but Beryl made a choice. And he made a choice that affects everyone else. So, you know, who's cutting off whom?
But not marrying a girl because her parents are divorced. Really?
We're going to talk about this next week. We'll talk about this next week.
Okay.
But really? Is that true?
Yes.
No, I'm saying it's possible,
even
but is it
from a family with the greatest of years, okay?
Is it, but is it crazy? Isn't divorce a traumatic experience for children?
Yes.
Aren't the children of divorcees have a statistical likelihood, greater likelihood to divorce themselves?
Yes. But
so does that seem
enough? But you doom them to be married to people, to a spouse from divorce.
All things being equal, we're going to talk about this next week, all things being equal, if it was your kid, wouldn't you want to give them the greatest statistical advantage for possibility for success?
I think this is one of those stupid things that we engineer to death.
Alright, I think that there are things that we engineer to death, but other things that are real. Well, we'll talk about this. We're going to talk about next week about that. Health issues also.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot, I mean, you know, I literally could give a whole 10-week class on this issue because there are, you can imagine in the literature, in the halakhic literature, how often this came up. what was considered appropriate, what was not considered appropriate, what's appropriate to tell a possible shidduch, what's not appropriate to tell about. What if you know, what's not lashon hara? Interesting stuff. You only get 1 week of it. Okay. Yeah, really. It's very fascinating stuff. Okay. In a rosh, to be honest, you could do something that so that people will know. Misha pasul amam and harba the shidduchim. Let's say you spent a lot of money to make the shidduch. You know, you're a rich guy and you want the rosh hashiva's daughter. Or you want your daughter to marry Rosh Hashiva's son, whoever it was, the Chazu Behem. Lo Yagin Kalaso Mishim Zeh, Velo Yitkoshet Ba'avur Nichse Ishto. So it goes on about a person, how they react, etc., etc. I want to go to the next one. Skip to Beis. Kol Mishpachos Becheskas Kashrus. All families are considered kosher. Meaning, let's say you don't know anything. Your daughter calls up and says, "You know, hi, I'm dating Baruch Cohen, Baruch Cohen of the Cohens of New York. Do you know him?" No. Okay, the Cohens of New York, fine. Umutir lisha meyam lechatchila. You can marry them lechatchila. V'afal pikein, nonetheless. Im ra'it beis mishpachos shemisgaros zuba zutamid. Let's say, this is the Shulchan Aruch, by the way. It's the Halacha book, the same one we read for Halacha. If you see two families that fight all the time, Obeiz b'nei Adam shem yitzgarim zeh bazeh, or two people that fight all the time. Or ra'i mishpacha shu ba'alas matza u'meriva tamid. Or you see a family that they're always getting into arguments with people. They're always in bitter debates or disputes. Or ra'i sa'ish shu marbe meriva im hakol. You see a guy who just fights with everyone. And he's very brash and brazen. Worry about them. And it's worthwhile to distance yourself from them. These are signs of problems in the family, we'll call it. Okay? And furthermore, some guy walks around saying, "Oh, that family's not good. And that family, I heard a little bit about them." Okay? He says, talks about that family's lineage. Obi Yechidim or individuals. Although they're mamzerim, choshen lo shema mamzer who? Right, he who casts the stone. Right, you know, you should ask about that guy. Okay, so you see that the Shulchan Aruch does say that there's what to worry about if you see a family with a certain attitude or a certain familial behavior that's stubborn, they're argumentative, they're difficult. You know, also on a, let's be honest, on a, you know, we don't teach the duchim like this in our community. Our kids go and, you know, find somebody, but if you were setting up a shidduch with somebody and you knew the family was a difficult family, so you should just know a wedding is a very traumatic time. It really is. Who's going to pay for what? Then who's going to do this? Then who's going to do that? So you had your druthers, you had to choose what families now are we going to share grandchildren with? You want to pick the argumentative ones or the ones to get along with everybody? Huh? Seems. Yeah, it doesn't. It's not so.
You want to pick the argumentative ones because they'll keep fighting with themselves. Leave the grandchild for you alone.
All right. Vav on the right, on left hand side. What time is it? Am I running out of time? 9 o'clock. Lo Mishal Adam. So who should you marry? Lisa Bash Talmid Chacham. Now we get the qualities. The daughter of the Talmid Chacham. Ulahashi Bita the Talmid Chacham. And his daughter should marry Talmid Chacham. Lo Matabas Talmid Chacham. If he can't find the daughter of the Talmid Chacham. Yisa Bas Gedolei Hador. Alright. The Gadol Hador. It means what? It means a leader. A Jewish leader.
It's still interesting. I mean, the focus is on just not on her. You know.
Why? No, why? You tell me why.
I don't know.
Because remember, it was an alliance of families more than anything. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? The girl was sort of like... So, by the way, when we get to it next week, we're going to see that the whole literature changes.
Yeah.
Right, that in the Gemara's times, it was an interaction, it was a transaction. Which you just know, I mean, we'll get to this when we get to the marriage itself. What is marriage?
It's a
monetary transaction. You give the ring. What is the ring? It's going to be a ring. I have a rabbi friend of mine who likes to say, we don't publish this, but it could be a french fry. You are married to me with this French fry.
As long as there's many a basin.
It's a nickel.
Yeah, many a basin in the yeshiva went, where a guy would take a glove, hand it to a girl, and say.
It's a monetary transaction. So it makes sense, by the way, that they saw that as such. And then you think about what's a ksuba? What's tanoim? What was it? And your family put this much money in? I mean, if you think about it, by the way, people come to Shinari. What do they come to Shinari mostly for?
Wedding.
My daughter getting married in Israel. Why? Because why do they need your money? Why do they come to America? Do you think they want to hang out in America, collect money for their daughter getting married in Israel? Because if they don't have a third of the money of the apartment, their child will not get married. It's as simple as that. In the community in which they live, you either put up the money or you don't get married.
When I was in Israel this summer, I bought a pizza.
All right, you know what? We'll stop here and we'll continue with this part. We'll continue with this part next week.